How y'all are. You know, at this time of the year, I miss Alaska summers. I don't miss the winters, but I miss the summers. And sometimes in our life, you know, we say, "Here, Lord, send me," and He does. He moves you from place to place, and you discover that God has a ministry for you there, serving Him, serving in a local church. And it's often that people, sometimes between moving, forget to get connected. But tonight I want to talk to you about how I got picked. And when I say that, what I'm saying is, J.K. is not here. But J.K. told me that we were assigned to pick out a favorite verse. Now, how do you pick out a favorite verse out of 66 books of the Bible? Because we know it is indeed God's inerrant word. Amen. It's indestructible, and it's all about the living God coming into us and being a part of our lives, isn't it? Yes. That when we look at that, it's hard to pick a verse, but I chose one. I chose out of Luke chapter 18, verse 1. On your handout, it says Luke 18:1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not faint." You see, I think the Bible is indeed indestructible. It stands the test of time. And in those words is an encouragement that we have to understand is followed by some words that describe a judge and a widow that wanted relief. Shall we pray? Father God, we ask that you would hide your servant behind the cross tonight, that you would use the words that I have prepared to speak to the hearts of those who are assembled, to encourage them and uplift them in their following of Christ, and that we, O Lord, would become better prayer warriors for your cause. For because of those people who are standing out there, as the cotton is on this stand tonight, the fields are white unto harvest. But we must go and tell. We must go and seek them out and compel them to come in so that they might learn more about Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Dr. Luke is like a field reporter. He goes out and he wants to know all there is to know about one called Jesus of Nazareth. He's a doctor, so sometimes he talks about physical things, and sometimes he makes more mention than others, but he thoroughly examines the wounds of life in people. And that's how we should handle the Bible itself. You see, that parable about the judge and the widow is very important, isn't it? The man neither feared God nor feared man himself, but she was persistent. She kept coming back wanting relief. She didn't give up. She didn't give out, and she didn't give in. She kept asking for relief. When we go in prayer to God, we should constantly go. Something I learned at the men's conference that I really liked was a simple thing called passion. You see, it's an acronym. We must be persistent when we pray. We must keep praying the same prayer until God gives us relief. You hear me? Pray till we get relief, that God answers our prayer. God can say, "Absolutely no way, Jose." But He can also say, "Yes." Sometimes He'll tell you to wait a little while, and then He gives you the answer, you see. That if it's persistent, and then we must be active when we pray. If we're praying for the salvation of someone, we need to be a light for them to have the light shine into their lives. It says that we're a Christian because we believe in Christ and He's made a difference. You see, God changes your wound meter when you come to Him. You get all the pearl beer you want, your wound meter is changed because they don't no longer make pearl beer. I was so disappointed when I found that out. I was raised in Texas, you know. The reality is that also we must not only be persistent and active, but we must be specific. I want that person to be born again from on high. I want that person to find salvation, and I want them to come willingly into God's kingdom. It's hard for us sometimes to understand. Well, did Saul have a choice on that road? Well, you can be blind for the rest of your life, or you can come and do what I asked you to do, you see. We need to be sacrificial, be willing to give up some things so that we might reach others, be willing to give up of our time, our monies, and our talents so that they might be reached. And we must be intense, intense in what we believe. You know, in the Air Force, they make two trips to all of the aircraft with a fighter pilot. One to get the pilot there, and the second one to take his ego out there, because I want him to know that he's the best there is when he gets airborne to defend me, you see. But whenever we think, we need to be intense in our prayers, we need to be indeed optimistic that God's going to answer our prayer. We can't give up, we can't give out, and we can't give in. We must stay the course. And we must have nerve when we pray. We must be bold when we pray. We should be praying for great things from our great God. Not small, trivial things, but great things for God. Dare great things for God. And watch what happens. You see, it is important that we have that communication. If it wasn't important, God would not have gone into the garden in the cool of the evening to see Adam. You see, there are over 650 prayers in the Bible recorded. Of them, 450 have come to pass. That still leaves a few left that have yet to come to pass. You see, the first time prayer is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 4, verse 6. We also understand that in Genesis 3, 8 through 13, and Genesis 4 through 9, that it was God that initiated the contact with man. Now it's man trying to make contact with God, and that's what we do. When we talk to a righteous and holy God, we need to understand he has the power to change things. Just like that, you see. The Bible records Jesus making 25 different prayers inside the Gospels, you see. We need to understand that Paul mentions prayer, prayers, prayer reports, prayer requests, exhortations to pray 41 times in his writings. It must not be important to pray. Yeah, it can't be, right? They just keep bringing it up. And because God does answer prayer, and things change when God answers prayer. You see, we can pray standing, sleeping, or doing whatever, as long as we're alert. But indeed, the Bible records that there are several positions. One is sitting in 2 Samuel. It says that David sat down before the Lord and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that thou hast brought me thither to?" That indeed he understood it was God that had brought him to power. It is God that brings people to power in our nation, too. Some people don't understand that, that whenever God's people vote, they mean to vote. They turn out. That we can do it standing, as it says in Mark 11:25, "And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses." You see, standing is okay to pray. Driving your car down the road, I didn't list, but that works as well too, doesn't it? Yeah. We see kneeling. I pray for that other driver that cuts me off. I heard somewhere once where a guy prayed for the fleas of 1,000 camels to infest the tent of a guy. And I'm sometimes drawn into the trap of wanting to do that. But indeed, we indeed have to understand that standing and kneeling in Daniel 6:10. Daniel has just received and understands that they're about to try to sentence him to death. And it says, "Now when Daniel knew that writings was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before a time." That indeed he was not scared. He was not afraid. He knew his God was powerful, and that if God wanted to, he could deliver him. And if he didn't, he'd still see God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. watch with one's face to the ground. In Matthew, it talks about our Lord Jesus Christ. He says he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." That he was willing to endure the cross for us, willing to endure the instructions of the Heavenly Father on our behalf, that it was necessary for him to be the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the scapegoat that carried away our sins for eternity yet to come, you see. We also see that we can also pray with our hands lifted up in 1 Timothy 2:8. "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, where lifting up holy hands, without wrath and without doubting." That I'll get that word out there somewhere. But the reality is in our heart, we have to be right with God when we're praying, do we not? An Assemblies of God deacon told me, the only way you can speak to God is to get your antenna up and let him know that you are concerned about this situation and you need him to act, amen? And God acts, does he not? Yes. Jesus' model for his disciples prayed in Luke 11, 1 through 4, that God's name be honored, the focus is on his everlasting glory. Father, hallowed be your name. The God's kingdom come, the focus is on his eternal will, your kingdom come. The God's provision is given, the focus is on our present, give us this day our daily bread. The God forgiveness is granted, the focus is on our past, forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And God's deliverance will be provided, the focus is on our future when we're in his presence. What a wonderful day that will be, you see. The Bible has at least 9 main types of prayer. There's a prayer of faith, as recorded in James 5:15. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I hope to say that we are people who are righteous and pray, and God availeth us much. The prayer of agreement, which is corporate prayer in Acts 2. The prayer of request, known as petition or supplication in Philippians 4:6. A prayer of thanksgiving, a prayer of worship, a prayer of consecration known as dedication, a prayer of intercession, and a prayer of imprecation. And you get into Psalms there and you look and see that record, and in it, it says, "I pray that my enemies not be successful. Lord, block them from being successful." It reminds me, I read an article when World War II broke out. They were 5 men, ministers, who met every day at lunch, and they prayed that Adolf Hitler would become confused. Now that sounds, that doesn't sound very bad. But what was the problem with Germany when we invaded? Adolf Hitler didn't want to be woke up, and nobody dared wake him up. And he made some silly choices. To be honest, he wanted to fight not only England and the rest of Europe, but he wanted to fight the Russians at the same time. Well, it cost him dearly, we know that. But they did indeed pray for that. We find that the word amen means let it be or so be it, verily and truly, and its first appearance in the Bible is in Numbers 5:22. In that passage, God commands it to be said by the person who is yielding to his examination. When we're praying, we're yielding to his examination. Yes, men ought always to pray. Therefore, the plain meaning and moral of the parable is evident, that afflictions and desolations were coming. They're going to come into our lives too. You've been through some already. But the reality is they come from time to time. And God never leaves you nor forsakes you during those times. Amen. And he expects us to pray through that. That we are to be protection of the Almighty is what we pray for. We should be instant in prayer. It states further that men should never cease praying for that necessity of which God has given them to feel till they receive a full answer to their prayers. You see, living a life without prayer is like building a house without nails. Can you visualize the wind blowing here in Texas and no shingle nails or staples? You know, we must pray. We must make prayer a central theme in our lives, you see. Prayer is releasing the energies of God, for prayer is asking God to do what we cannot do ourselves. And He's much better at it than we are. Yeah. Anyone in here ever pray a prayer that came to pass? Okay. I'll mention several later on. In Genesis 3, He came into the garden, like I said earlier, and that He was there in the cool of the evening to celebrate and spend time with Adam. Prayers are recorded by Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Nehemiah, and others. And some of the greatest of those prayers came from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Hymns are often important. Hymnology. Dave, I know this is your alley here, bud. The reality is there's words in the hymns that we sing so that we might better learn and know the Word of God. And I chose a gentleman by the name of James Montgomery, and one of his hymns, the prayer is the soul's sincere desire. That when we really want to get close to God, we're going to get down on our knees and we're going to cry out to a holy God about our needs and about how we're willing to do whatever it takes for Him to win the cause, you see. James Montgomery lived from 1771 until 1854. He wrote over 400 hymns, many of which are still popular today. Stand up and bless the Lord, angels from the realms of glory, in the hour of trial, and according to thy gracious word, you see. He was trained in the ministry, but yet spent his lifetime as a reporter and an editor of a magazine. Widely known for his writings, he was once asked, which of your poems will live? He replied, none of them, except for a few of my hymns. Today, his hymns are remembered more than any of his poetry. The hymn that prayer is the soul's sincere desire has such metaphors as a hidden fire, a sign, a falling tear, an upward glance and a vital breath in the native air. Are listed in there. Describes in poetic language the mystic meaning of prayer, understood by experience, yet often difficult to express in words. Listen to the words of this hymn. The prayer is a soul's sincere desire, uttered and unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. The Holy Spirit within us can guide us in our prayer life, and from time to time it tells us to pray. It was election time in Alaska. It was November. My son was on his way back from living in Arizona with his three kids. He was pulling a trailer behind his vehicle. I expected him in. It was November. It was snowing in Anchorage. And I was moved by God to get on my knees and pray for their safety at about 9:15. And I prayed for over 30 minutes. And when I awoke, got up off my knees, my phone would ring, and I thought, another get out the vote for the Republicans. But in my surprise, it was my son. He says, Dad, there's been an accident. You see, as I came up over the hill, there was a herd of caribou in the middle of the road. I had no choice but to hit one. It's disabled my vehicle. We're fine. Can you come get us? It's 122 miles from my house in Anchorage to indeed where they were at. They were there at Eureka Lodge, 22 miles away. I got my truck out of the garage, took off. By the way, I drove a Chevy back then, 4x4. And I started up the road, and as I did, I dialed my phone and kept trying to reach my son to no avail. Pushed snow with the front of my truck. Got up there to Eureka. And when I got there, everybody was fine. If he had not hit the caribou that was standing in the middle of the road with little or no shoulder, they would have fallen 25 foot to the bottom on the right. It would have been 45 foot to the bottom on the left of the road. He had no choice but to hit the caribou, which disabled his cooler for his transmission. So we got everything, truck moved, hooked onto the trailer. And on my way up, I didn't see one piece of wildlife on the road. As soon as I hooked onto that trailer and we topped the first hill, there were three moose in the middle of the highway. There were another herd of caribou, several wolves, some fox. The only thing I didn't see was a polar bear, because they're further north. And I thought, you know, the devil really doesn't want you to get to Anchorage, son. And I told him so. We were almost to Palmer, and when you get to Palmer, it's a lighted highway all the way into Anchorage. And I knew we'd be safe, and one old cow moose with a calf, with her hackles up, charged us down the middle of the road. And I said, "Oh, Lord," flashed my lights. She realized we were a little bigger than she was, and she cut off in the brush. But we arrived there, and I believe the devil didn't want them to arrive safely. He wanted them, but he didn't get them, because prayer indeed was there, and understood that God's strength is there. In verse 2, it would say, "Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glance of an eye when none but God is near." That when we look at that, I put down Nehemiah. You think about Nehemiah, you look at those verses and it says, "It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days." It was 120 days he fasted and mourned. He was preparing himself to go in to ask the king that he might get a grant to go down and build the walls of Jerusalem, which he, by the way, he did in 52 days. Remarkable. Not only that, but when you think about that, listen to the final words here he says. "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee that thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man," talking about the king, "for I am the king's cupbearer." I want you to think about that. That doesn't mean he was the janitor. That doesn't mean he was a table server, but he was the main guy making sure the king had food and could not be poisoned. Do you understand? He had a position in government. He was a feather merchant. I like to say that. I was a feather merchant once. The reality is, as you move a lot of paper away and around and you do things with people and through people. But he was willing to go and ask the king for permission to go. My questions are written. When was the last time you were moved to get to your knees and pray for God to act on your behalf or the behalf of someone else? You see, what is your prayer life like? When was the last time you prayed for the leaders of our nation? When was the last time you prayed for the leaders of our state? When was the last time you prayed for the leaders of our county? When was the last time you prayed for those of our city? Our neighbors, our family, our church, our pastor, our teachers, our music leader. There are lots of people who stand in need of prayer, amen? And we should be a focal point praying for them, praying for their success as well as the outcome of not only their ministry, but their preaching and teaching as well. Number 3 verse says, "Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Prayer, the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high." In Revelation, we see that our prayers reach the very holy of holies in heaven. In Revelation 5:8, it says, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." The prayers of the saints. When we humble ourselves and pray, our requests are known in heaven in the Holy of Holies. They don't just hit the ceiling and bounce down on the floor like some people think, but they go all the way into heaven itself. Remember the small child. What did you pray when you were a small child? "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Yeah. Those are heard in heaven itself too. You do understand God hears and knows those things. 2 Chronicles 7:14, of course, says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Yes, it's God's people who are called by His name that must pray. They must confess and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. Our, indeed, conditional requirements for God to heal the land, you see. Forgive our sins and heal our land. Man, does America need a revival in turning back to God? We see it everywhere we look. They use words that were only seen in dirty movies years ago. I mean, and it's on live public television sometimes. How we have fallen. In verse 4, it says, prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. Romans 8:26-28. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth us infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That verse become very real to me in 2018. My wife, Ann, fell and broke her hip on the 7th of March, and on the 8th of March, she had a massive stroke. Along with Pastor Allen from North Shelby, we stood in the hallway and prayed that God would either heal her or take her home. God chose to heal her. Over the next 70 days, she survived and went through rehab. We sold our house in Alabama, bought one house that we had never seen except a picture of in New Braunfels. We arrived in town on the 13th of April. We took possession of it. My realtor, her husband, and three youngsters, and when I say that, they were under 25, showed up to help. They showed up on the next day to help as well. We would never manage to do that without their help, you see. We would settle in and do some shopping and other things, and on May the 15th, my wife would pass away that afternoon, standing next to the chaplain from the police department. We would dedicate her and release her soul into God's hands in safekeeping until the resurrection day. The resurrection day, when all God's people will be reunited with him in the air. Give God a ham clap of praise, would you? God takes them home. He don't leave them here. He takes them home. Some people still run around looking for that shell. I tell people, my mom and dad have a grave site, but they ain't there. They went home. My mom has a new set of lungs. She can sing like she was when she was young, and my dad now has two legs. Yeah, he lost one of them in southern France, fighting socialism. Think about that, how much we've changed in America. But you see, God indeed is there. It is vital for us to understand that we desire a place that we haven't seen yet. We only have some visions of it, some partial sight of it within the recordings of the Bible, you see. We see that it's there, and we have to say that God indeed is always there. Verse 5 says, O thou by whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself has trod. Lord, teach us to pray. It was Jesus that taught us to pray. He said this is a simple prayer. He didn't just pray for his apostles. He prayed for us today. In John 17:20-23, it says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words, our word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, and even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, and that they be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Those are powerful words spoken by our Lord. Yes, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life, you see. It is by Jesus that we are made right with God the Father. It is by Jesus we receive the Holy Spirit as the earnest money, the down payment for what is yet to come. You see, that's what God wants us to have. We indeed are there. The eternal life in the presence of God is what we desire. Jesus paid the debt he did not owe for those of us who owed a debt we could not pay. Very simple. He sacrificed, has made us right with God. We are saved by faith in his death, burial, and resurrection. We, as the Lord and Savior Jesus, the Son of the living God. There is no question about who he was and what he could and could not do. He did what he needed to do, for he was God's Son on a mission. Do you know that you know? I really like Butch Eichels because he always says that. Do you know that you know? And I want you to know that I know that I know that Jesus saved me. I was hustling a semi-truck for commercial lumber sales out of North Little Rock part-time. And Leola, Arkansas was 51 miles away from North Little Rock. And I started down the road. And I had asked God to show me that he really took me back. No ifs, ands, or buts, but I had rededicated my life, and I wanted confirmation. I can't tell you how that truck got 51 miles. I can't tell you who loaded that lumber on that truck, but I can tell you, sitting on the scales with tears streaming down my face, that God loved me, and I knew he had taken me back. Amen? And when God gets you, he ain't gonna let you go. If you come back to him, if you've been astray, he takes you back. You lose nothing. Amen. If you indeed have to understand, you need to know that you have been born again from on high. If you do, you're enjoying the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have an established prayer life. Prayer is a soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of the hidden flame that trembles in your breast, you see. Prayer is the burden of sigh and the falling of a tear, the upward glance of an eye, when none but is near but God, when only God is there with you in those moments. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infants can cry, you see, and try. Prayer, the sublimest strains that reach the majesty on high. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, yes. If your prayer life ain't good, your Christian life ain't very good. You understand that? Yeah. The most powerful person in the world is someone who gets on their knees before a righteous and holy God and cries out and weeps over his people. Yeah. You see, it's a watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. We've done funerals. We've seen people who were saved. And it's a joyous time, a celebration. I like to call them celebrations of life. I don't like to call them funerals. We celebrate their life and what they have done and whom they've known and what they've done and what they have to look forward to. O thou whom we come to God, the life, the truth, the way, the path of prayer thyself has trod, Lord, teach us to pray. We should be using that every day. Do you have the inner fire that burns within you to discover and experience more and more of Jesus? When I came back, I wanted all of Jesus. I was like a sponge. I was dry. I wanted to be wet with Jesus, you see. That's what we should desire. Do you have the falling tear and upward glance when only God is near? Have you been through one of those valleys whenever you think you're alone, but he's still there, you see? Do you have the confidence that our prayers reach the majesty on high when we pray? Do you know that prayer is the Christian spiritual breath and the longing for a native land prepared by God and not with human hands, you see? Do you know that the prayer links us with Jesus, our Lord and Savior, as He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no human can come unto the Father except by Jesus? There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life outside of Jesus. There is no plan B. Have you made the decision to follow Jesus? I hope you have. There is no middle ground to stand on. You're either with Him or against Him, you see. You are either saved or not saved, either born again from on high or lost and condemned by rejecting the free offer of forgiveness of sin by the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Do you know Him? Do you know that you know Him? If you do not delay. Make this decision today. Jesus is waiting. Let Him come into your heart and change you today. Additionally, you may be here and know Jesus Christ, but never followed Him in believer's baptism. We believe in baptism. It's an outward sign that says that my old life has gone away and I'm risen to a new life in Christ Jesus, signifying His death, burial, and resurrection. Baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is who we are. We are His children. We are grafted in. We are adopted children. Adopted children of God can't be disinherited. Did you realize that? We are due to inherit inside the kingdom of God. What a great thing that would be. If God is directing you to the country church to serve in His ministries, if you're looking for a church home and God is leading you, we would welcome you to come and join us in helping minister to the people of this area. There are many opportunities, many more needs than there are people to respond, you see. Join us in serving the Lord and encouraging one another in our faith walk. Pray for one another. The altar's open. Come on the first verse. Jesus is waiting. Don't delay. Shall we pray? Father God, as Dave comes to bring the invitational hymn, we ask, O Lord, that You would bless this time, that You would bless these words, that You, O Lord, would be glorified in all that takes place. In Jesus' name, amen.